Let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 15. Pick up with verse 15. We left off last time. Read down to verse 21. Make some comments. Here's Jeremiah being given this task to stand and declare Israel's condemnation. God had purposed judgment, and where he has purposed judgment, there's no man that can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So now in verse 15, we read his prayer. And I see much in this prayer of Jeremiah that is typical, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he came to this earth and dealt with those who were against him and many persecutors. And so he said, O Lord, thou knowest. I believe this is a good way for any of us when we face opposition for Christ's sake. Christ said, blessed are ye when men persecute you and say all manner evil against you for my name's sake. Lord, thou knowest. There's not anything that escapes his eye or his direction. But he says, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Even our Lord from the cross would have been commending himself to his Father. As Peter says to him who judges righteously. But what he's expressing here is the alienation that he was feeling as a prophet among the people of Israel because of his witness. And Isaiah wrote of our Lord that he was a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. And was despised in who he was and the work that he came to accomplish. And here we find Jeremiah then commending himself to the Lord. He says in verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word. So here you have thy words in the plural, and then thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah speaks here of God's words being found. He's acknowledging that everything he had to declare by way of words were found unto him. In other words, revealed unto him. And as he was given those words to declare, he says, I did eat them. This was a manner of speaking in which it wasn't just him declaring this word to others, but was part and parcel of his own soul. And that word, as the Lord strengthened him through the very word that he was proclaiming, was to his own heart a subject of joy and rejoicing, even though to those that he was preaching it was a subject of discontent and rejection. So, here Jeremiah is regarding the Word of God as being that joy and rejoicing. There again, we see a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? Where everything about what the Father gave him to do and to say was his delight, his joy and his rejoicing, even though he was rejected of men. He says here, I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah's reminded here that this mission that he was given to declare God's word to a very obstinate, rebellious people wasn't anything that he took upon himself, but it was God who had called him, and God who had established him and put him in that place, just like Christ coming into this world. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as did receive him. There were those that God purposed should hear, should receive, should believe. To them he gave the power, authority to become the sons of God. Here again we see Jeremiah being separated out from the people, even as Christ sanctified himself. He said, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. There were many there in Jeremiah's day, but he didn't sit there and try to negotiate with them as if to convince them somehow to repent or to turn. No. I sat alone because of thy hand. In other words, this is the Lord that had separated him out. For thou hast filled me with indignation. In other words, indignation toward those that were enemies of God. And therefore, there was no fellowship. There was no sitting with them and somehow acting as if there was a oneness there. I sat alone because of your hand. That separation from the mockers meant that he stood alone in his day, much as our Lord Jesus Christ. His fellowship was with his Father and not with the mockers. But he asked this question in verse 18, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? That word, why, there can also be translated, how is my pain perpetual? He's not in any way complaining here because he already said there that it was the Lord who had separated him out. But how is it that this pain is perpetual and his wound incurable that refuses to be healed? Well, there was no comfort that he could find as God's prophet facing the contradiction of these sinners against himself, just like our Lord. Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Again, I don't believe he's questioning God here, but in reality, he is bringing back to God in his plea what others would be saying about him. How is it that he's God's prophet and yet they consider him to be a liar and as waters that fail? In other words, the waters there are as rain falling upon dry ground and yet not having any fruit. So you can see the situation that Jeremiah bears and the burden he bears in standing before this people and declaring to them what God has declared concerning their judgment. Their imminent judgment. Verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Here's our Lord speaking to Jeremiah. When he says there, if thou return, then will I bring thee again. In other words, if there was any inkling in Jeremiah's mind that somehow he would not continue on this path that the Lord had called him to, yet the Lord says, I'll bring thee again, and thou wilt stand for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself did not in any way through all the temptation seek to get out from under him. but that the Father was constantly with him. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, this is talking here about how he would be declaring the word unto the people. Not as some preachers do today with some general amnesty of sinners. If you'll just make your decision for Jesus, then God will be merciful to you. That's not separating out the precious from the vile. There's a distinctiveness in how the Lord's preachers declare this word. There is a word of preciousness for those to whom God has directed that word of grace. It's not to everybody. It's his elect, those that the Lord Jesus Christ would come and pay their sin debt. So there's a separating out of the precious from the vile. The vile being addressed to those sinners that hated God, hated his word, hated his prophet, therefore would not hear him. But the Lord here is saying to Jeremiah that he's the one who would keep him. Thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee. This is, in essence, saying, stand your ground. This is true of those that are the Lord's preachers. They're not compromising. They're not going to the people to try to get them to join with him. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Certainly, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, was not moved at all by men's frowns or their flattery. Any that he drew, it was the Lord, the Spirit, drawing them to him. He said, I will make thee unto this people a fenced, brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. He says he'll make him like a brazen wall. That means immovable. And that nothing that men proposed against him would prevail against him. We know that was true of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they took him and by wicked hands crucified him and slew him, and yet all of that God purposed, that through it he would raise him up again from the grave and accomplish the salvation that God the Father had sent him to accomplish. So we see here this promise that is set forth in three key words. Really, this is the same words that we find with regard to the Exodus story, where the Lord brought a people out of bondage. Here, he's promising that through Jeremiah, he would deliver. He said, for I am with thee to save thee. The people mocked when Christ was on the cross, and they said, well, if he saved others, let him save himself. But Christ would not come off that cross until he had shed his blood unto death. But through that, he would be delivered. He was saved. Christ himself was saved through that death, having fulfilled all that the Father gave him to do, and was delivered and redeemed out of the hand of the terrible, out of those that crucified him. You see why I said this is a type of picture of Christ. The word saved there lays the stress on bringing someone out from under restraint. They sought to restrain him, pen him in, and yet God was pleased to bring him out onto a broad place. Word deliver there is used as snatching a prey out from the grasp of some powerful possessor. You think about the world, you think about Satan, you think about sin, you think about the law. It all had Christ as its captive during this particular time. And yet, because of his faithfulness unto death, he was delivered. He was, that's the word that's used. And this is what the same word that the Lord's using with Jeremiah. Don't fear their faces. That he would save him through this, he would deliver him, and then redeem. It wasn't that Christ needed to be redeemed, because he had no sin for which he should be redeemed, but the word there is the word ransom, that through that work that he would accomplish, that he would be ransomed. In other words, there would be such a complete satisfaction of God the Father, there would be nothing more for which to retain him or hold him. And this is what the Lord is promising to Jeremiah. These are heartening promises for Jeremiah, a reminder of just why it was that the Lord called him in the first place. So thereby strengthened and helped in where he stood that day. I hope that is helpful for all of us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, the types and pictures, promises that we find even in the life of Jeremiah pertaining to our Lord Jesus Christ. And thankful that you strengthened him as a man, and that he was heard, and that he feared you, he revered you, and he delivered him from the payment of that debt he came to pay. Not that kept him from it, but through it. So satisfactory was his work that in the end there was nothing but deliverance that remained for him, because he accomplished the work after 3 days and three nights, that he raised him again and he's ascended on high where he ever lives to intercede on behalf of that people who came to say, thank you for your word now. It is true. Reflects your glory and honor in all things. For that we give you the praise and glory. In our dear Savior's name, amen.